The following message is from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about us, visit livingwatersmn.org.
So, Father God, we just thank you. We just thank you for your presence today. We just thank you for releasing a word on Heather and I. We just declare unity in our message, and as it's released to the body, I just thank you that it impacts everybody right where they need to be impacted, and it encourages them to move forward in wherever they're supposed to be going. So, Father, we give you all the glory and all the praise today in your holy and mighty name. Amen.
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 Am I on? Yeah. Okay. I just want to call youth, and if there's any youth out there in the hall, come on in, because it's part of owning your faith is being in here and hearing the message. Tom and I are with the youth group, also with Rachel, and our focus this year has been owning your faith. So anyway, youth, come on in.
So as Dave mentioned, this month is envisioning, and by definition, to picture oneself, to see, to foresee. And so thank you very much for letting us talk. We are honored, we're nervous, and we're excited. This is our first time. This is our maiden voyage to be up here. We've been up here before, but never in this capacity. So we have notes. We have notes. It's in our hearts, but we have it here as a reminder. So we are just thankful that we get a chance to share our heart and where we are as a family and how it can impact everybody else. Before we get into our actual kind of our message, I just want to lay a little bit of a backdrop of who I am, where I came from, and then Heather will do the same, just from our upbringing standpoint. So I grew up in Maple Grove about 300 years ago, and I had a what I look as a fairly traditional family back then. I had a mom, dad, and a sister. And I look back and I feel like it was kind of the Leave It to Beaver type of household. I was pretty naive. I was loved. I was sheltered. But I wasn't exposed to a lot. It was a nice upbringing. I loved it. I grew up in the church, both Lutheran and Methodist. And so with that, I remember it's been ingrained in me because of repetitive prayer. Come, Lord Jesus, let these just, you know, that prayer and the now I lay me down to sleep. So I prayed for all these years, but I didn't really know what I was even praying until, you know, many years ago. So I was in the church, but I didn't know Jesus at that point. Growing up, I was a fairly happy-go-lucky fella that just kind of went where the wind blew me. I didn't really have any strong convictions. As I was preparing and we're talking, thinking about this, the one conviction I think I had was in high school, I went to Osseo back in the day, and you know, you had all these different groups. You'd have people that were the partiers and the good people and the preppies and whatever the labels were. But one thing I had a strong conviction on was drinking. I didn't drink. I was in my three of my best friends, we were all kind of the straight-laced guys with that. So that was, as I look back, pretty much one of the only things I really had a strong conviction on. Bless my mom and dad's heart. I love them and honor them. And they did what they knew to do. They did what they knew to do. They didn't necessarily, I didn't get in the weeds of stuff that we've now learned as a family. And so it was great upbringing. I'm thankful for everything that happened and for where I am, because they taught me right and wrong and how to love and how to respect. So all that was great. Fast forward into college, I met my then girlfriend and got to know her family. Some of you might know her, well, she'll explain who her sister is, but her mom and dad are Bob and Mary Quam. So they've been here for 10 years, but they live up north. So they're technically members, but they were very influential. So I got to just get lavished right away into their family, and I fell in love with them. I mean, they are amazing. And my mother-in-law has loved the Lord for years, and she's been one of the most influential people. She's my mentor, and I just love her dearly. She's spoken into me for years and years, and she actually led me to the Lord when we were in college. When Heather, with her family, lived in East Bethel. We were down in their basement one night. I don't remember all the details, but I do remember her leading me to the Lord. And so they've just been a super special part, just unconditional love. It's amazing, you know, as we have generations before us and we get to help launch the next generation, just what we get to carry and learn, good and bad, because it's all progress. It makes us better. So I'm thankful for the kind of the path that I've had. I've had lots of pitfalls and major restoration and redemption, and God has been faithful through it all. So praise God.
All right, and and my growing up years, it was my mom and dad and my sister, who's Heidi. She's usually back there, but she's at a teen challenge thing today with a friend. And so it was just the four of us, and I grew up in a Catholic church, and we went, you know, every week, and we're involved in the church and involved in, you know, my mom was a youth group leader. I don't know if they called it back then, but Sunday school and all throughout the years, and a real prayer warrior. We used to tease, us cousins would get together and we would tease our moms. It was called Sisters Week, and they would, it felt like to us, they'd pray all week, and it was like, they're praying again. But now, as an adult, I go, thank God, they were praying so much. You know, it was, I didn't realize as a kid what a blessing it was, and just how God's hand was already on our lives. Anyway, we had a great family, lots of fun, but we had some struggles too. My dad was an alcoholic, so we did lots of fun together, went snowmobiling, boating, all these family activities, but there was alcohol involved in pretty much all of them. So as a family, we had to wrestle through that and the challenges. And it wasn't until grandchild number one was born, the oldest one, Christian. Anyway, that was the end of... There had been many ends, but that was the final end. My dad grew up being very influenced by his grandpa. And it was like he wanted to be the right grandpa. So praise God for that. And also during our growing up years, we found out that my mom and dad had a baby when they were in high school. And so, anyway, before that, my sister and I would say, oh, I wish we had a big brother. I want a big brother. And so then in third grade, we found out, guess what? You do have a big brother. So we had some very special years. His name was Dave. He would come to the cabin. We got to meet his family that adopted him, and it was awesome. But he was killed in a drinking and driving accident, one car accident. And, you know, my mom had been open with him about the challenges of drinking with dad. And so he even went through a time stopping his drinking to see, do I have a problem? But anyway, we got to learn from that and walk through it, and it wasn't fun. So anyway, I went to school, met Tom, and entered school thinking I wanted to be a teacher. That's what I wanted to be forever and ever. But, you know, you go through school, change your mind, try this, try that, and almost graduated. I was on the graduating list to graduate.
With interior design.
Yeah, and then I, you know, because I tried all these others, and then I went into class one day and was like, just sweating from head to toe. I knew this is not what I want to do for my life. I'm going back to elementary ed. So anyway, switched my major, and we were then married and had to go to college then after I was married because of all the switches. So, but God's hand was on that. I didn't know at the time that I would be homeschooling someday. So when I finally graduated after we were married, you know, well, by then we want to have kids. So I had some time of subbing and doing student teaching, but now I want to have kids. So I was like, oh boy, I went through all that for what? Well, God knew I was going to be a homeschool teacher. So anyway, I'm thankful for that. And like I said, God had his hand, and he was preparing me for what was ahead, and I didn't even know it. And he's always done that for me, and he's doing it for you too. It's funny how when you look back on your life, you can see it. But what it is to know it when we're walking through it, it's like he's preparing me for something. You know, it's a gift we give ourselves to know it now instead of look back anymore. So, yeah, covered that.
One thing I just wanted to quick mention, when I was a kid, my grandpa went home to be with the Lord about 2 years ago. He was 98. And he would say, when I was a young kid, oh, someday you're going to be a preacher, you're going to pastor, you're going to talk and all this. And I'm like thinking, no way. And then as I grew and I grew and I grew, in high school, he would say the same thing. Tommy, I know you're going to preach, you're going to be a pastor. And I'm like, you are way off, dude. You don't even know me. I would run as far the other direction. I didn't know. So it's just kind of funny. You know, this is 40 years ago, the Lord's probably preparing in my heart. So you never know. I mean, we're involved with, like what Heather said, with the youth and get to lead in various things. But it's just funny how God is always preparing us, always preparing us.
And before we go to this next part, I just want to kind of lay a foundation where Dave was saying today to rest. And so we're not going to disagree with that. What we want to just preface is to rest doesn't mean to sit and do nothing.
That's right.
To rest is a rest in your heart. It's a trusting God. But it sometimes takes doing also.
Absolutely.
So what we're saying next is not contradicting that. I just wanted to settle that in your hearts. Okay, we're going to do the video.
Yeah. So, Mandy, if you could put, this is a little 20-second clip, and it's just hilarious.
I'm not in a hurry when it comes to your spirit.
That's actually not the correct sound.
When it comes to your voice, I'm learning to listen, just to rest in.
Gosh, I could watch that over and over about 100 times, and it still is funny. Oh, so you think about it. A surgeon. It's life and death, right? I mean, he's got somebody on the table, and he's just okay. That's not okay. So as how it relates to family, just okay is not okay. That's kind of as a nice way to spin into what we're going to share. It's not okay. We don't want, God doesn't call us to just get by and just to do okay. He wants us to work and to work it with excellence in rest, but he wants us to do our best. He wants us to do our best.
Yeah. Okay. And now would you put up the house photo? Yeah. Okay. What we're going to be talking about today is kind of three parts. We're going to be talking about building your house. Something in respect to a family. So if you look at the photo, there's these things going down deep. The footings and the foundation. The house rests on top of that. The Lord is our foundation, and we need to go deep within Him. I just found it, like, as we were preparing, Tom and I kept going, oh, you know, it's about going deep. That's most important. Am I not so good at that? Tom kept saying, practice your headset. I probably bumped the mute again. Okay.
They'll get you back in.
That's okay. Now we don't have to worry so much about being too short.
Oh. Why is it?
Yeah, are we good? No. So sorry. Tom will be like going to a gas station. We'll be 5 miles down the road. He's like, you want to get out the debit card? And I'm like, dude, we're like far away. I'll get it out right when we're there.
I like to be prepared. I was a Boy Scout at one time. Isn't that the Boy Scout motto? Be prepared.
No, I thought it was a Girl Scout motto.
And that could be too. I wasn't a Girl Scout.
And as we're sitting here, he's like, put your mic on. I'm like, what
are you doing? Babe, get ready. So one thing to add to what you're saying. So there's we're doing this illustration as there's three parts to the house: the footings, and then the foundation, which rests on the footings, but the footings, foundation, and then the structure, the superstructure, the top. What everybody sees.
Yeah, and I just thought it was, well, okay. don't laugh at me, kids. So I just thought it was amazing how the worship songs today, it was like going deep. I was like, hey, our words. It was about deeper. And then there was another one that was that he wants to take us deeper. He wants to know our heart. And so when we talk about what we're talking about today, we want to just emphasize that the most important part of everything we talk about is going deep with Jesus. And we can't teach you to do that. That's got to be a hunger within yourself. It's like, you just got to make the decision and then do it. I want to go deeper and do it. I can't put depth in you. But literally, everything we talk about in our parenting rests on how deep do I want to go. So anyway, just wanted to say that.
And one thing to interject also, as you can see, when this is obviously an illustration, so you can see the footings and the foundation, but the reality is we don't ever see footings. Just like I don't see the inside of Henry. That's between he and the Lord. It's not even between he and Les. It's between he and the Lord. It's something so deep and personal that it's only between he and the Lord, just like the footings.
Right. And so when we differentiate today, we're going to talk about that. And the house is going to be what the people see. So anyway, keep that in mind as we're describing that. God is the foundation. Okay, you do your part.
Yeah, so I'm just going to read out of Luke. Luke 6, 46 to 49. And it's the wise and foolish builders. So why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? I will show you what he is like who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice. He is like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck, and the house could not be shaken, because it was well built. But the one who hears the word and does not put them into practice is like a man who builds a house on ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck the house, it collapsed and destructed it completely. So again, it's just reiterating what Heather said with, can you just put that visual of the house back? Thanks. So it's all about going as deep, and it's an intimate relationship with the footings between you and the Lord. It's like that sonship. I'm just going to be super transparent because that's how the Lord wants me to do it. I've struggled for a long time, and it's just this continuing revelation I get with who I am in Christ and sonship in him. It's like, wow. I mean, I'm his favorite kid. And it's amazing. We're all his favorite. And to grasp that, it's like, you got to be kidding me. I mean, look at all of his, just the nature and the natural creations he's done. But he loves me. He died for me. And so just to be rooted in that, to thoroughly know who God is and how much he just exquisitely loves us, is the footing, the foundation. It can't be shaken. Even when we have really tough stuff, like the verses said, we know who we are in Christ.
Yeah, because the verse talked about the storms, and it's like guaranteed there's going to be storms in life. The word says it, but we've all been in family. We know storms happen, whether it's now raising kids or when you were a kid, or for me with my dad, there were storms. But it was that deep foundation that held us together. And So I've shared this with some of you, but in regards to that deep foundation, you know, as a parent for years, I would be like, have I let go of my kids? Do I really trust God with my kids? I kind of shared that it's like I would have them in my hand and I would give them to the Lord, but I wouldn't let go. It was like I would let him hold them while I held them. Kind of like you do, you know, with a baby infant and you let a four-year-old hold them, but you don't really let go. And literally, it was the day we came home from Marcy's funeral. It was like all of a sudden, boom, I knew I had let go. It was like, I saw the goodness of God because my brother was taken from us is what it felt like. There was this fear in me of,
what if one of my kids are taken? And so I couldn't really let go. But with Marcy, it was like I saw the awesomeness of heaven. It was all of a sudden the fear was gone, because even if in the natural the worst happened and my kid was taken from me, it was like, that's okay, because they're in heaven. And I knew for the first time the goodness that I could fully let go. And I could only get that because of the deepness in my workings and in my relationship with the Lord. So, and then another example is like my sister's...
I'm sorry. Yeah. And then the ironic thing, as you say it with...
second part. Part two. Okay, then, this is funny, not really, but okay. A week later, after I let go of my children, you know, then my son, we would take him to an MRI because his eye is limp and all this stuff. And then we go in to find out he has a mass behind his eye, between his eye and his brain. So you guys know that story. But it was like right away the enemy's like, oh, you let go of your kids? Let me test that, Heather. And I had to remember, and during those times I had to go back and go, when fear would come in, no, I gave him to my Father and I continue to trust him. But again, it was because I had to go back into that depth of knowing who he is and who I am to him and go, okay, he's got him. I know what ahead is scary, but I'm not going to take him back from you, Lord. He's yours. So, and then another situation where it's the depth of my love for my Father and his love for me is our families have had some relationship challenges with my sister's family. But because they love the Lord and we love the Lord, man, we wrestled through it, but God is so good. It's better after those struggles. And it is for you guys too. Just when there's struggles, press on, dig deep, hold on to those truths as you go through those struggles.
I would suggest it's not better. It's awesome.
Yeah.
It's awesome. We had there was tumultuous times, and we had to contend, not like physically, but we contended in the spirit.
And they did.
And they did.
Yep.
And it is only God's grace, and we can give all the glory to God because we saw some miracles happen. It's like you just can't explain that. I mean, there was division.
Yeah,
it was tough. No, it was really tough, but God is so good. And just so you know, we talked to Heidi and Dan.
Yeah.
So they knew, we asked to make sure it would be okay to share that.
And they asked their kids, and actually one of the kids said, what division? What struggles did we have? So I just praise God that we got to walk through it. And
amen.
The kids didn't have to know the struggles, but we all know what's going on in the hearts. And so anyway, praise God for
good.
It. It's great.
So we have,
okay.
Oh, sorry.
Now we're here. Let me remember. Okay. So yeah, like Dave said, he had asked us to cast vision. We're going to now move to the house part to do that. But again, it's not something per se we can do. We can spur ideas and give you ideas. But literally everybody's family is different. It's up to you to be like, Lord, what's your vision for our family? So it was kind of like, how can we give vision for somebody else? We can't per se give you vision, but we can spur ideas. Does that make sense? Okay, so he said that we, you know, do this in our family once a year, cast vision. And so because we homeschool, our vision casting time usually comes like September, October. That's kind of our new year to like, Lord, what do we do here? What's on your hearts? And so anyway, this last fall, we actually did do like a mission statement and all this kind of stuff. And we always do something to hang on the wall to kind of help
hearts
us all remember what did we do for our retreat that year. And so anyway, we went looking high and low, because there are 9 of us in our family, for a 9-spoked wheel. This is 10. And we're like, Lord, why can't we find 9 spokes? It's 10 or it's 16 and whatever. Because each of these represents one of us in the family. So we decided that this one is not another child, unless the Lord changes things. It is future grandchildren, sons and daughters-in-laws, and that kind of stuff. Because, man, we looked and we couldn't find 9. So give up. How do we do that, Lord? Anyway, this was Father, Son, Holy Ghost. This is us. And this was our mission statement around it. And, you know, we were in teaching that year, we were talking about how we each are unique and different, but we belong in a family, and there is purpose in our family. And so where this wheel goes, we all go together. And, you know, if one isn't doing their part, this wheel isn't going to go as smoothly. There's going to be some ba-bump, 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 you know. And we just talked about, how would you feel if I all of a sudden decided, I'm not into this homeschooling thing anymore, I'm wore out, to school? And I'm not saying homeschooling is for everybody, just for our family. It would affect our wheel. We might move differently. Things would change. You know, let's say one kid decides, I'm not worrying about what my parents have said. I want to start partying every week, or what? You know what I'm saying? It, one child, one person affects the whole function of the family. And so it was like, kids, we're not trying to like make you be perfect, but we function as a family, and we always will. Even when you grow up and you move on your own, there's still a function as a family. Even if I'm separate from my mom and dad and my sister, we still, when we get together, we function as a family, and our hearts are still always connected as a family. And forever it hurts when there's one that doesn't function the same. And I can't really put that in words, but I think we all know when there's one in the family that's not in the wheel, it just hurts. There's always that bump. So anyway, at that time we were just encouraging that. And so we came up with a mission statement for our family. And the way that we did that was, you know, everybody's brainstorming and we're writing, well, who are we? Who are the Nitzes? What do we do? What do we do for fun? What do we do for God's plan? And, you know, then we're each picking out, no, I don't like that one. And yep, that one speaks most to me. So we kind of all picked ones that spoke most to us that we kind of agreed with and put it into this. And so it says, we are a purposeful family who changes the atmosphere through our humor and positive energy. We are an example to others as we walk in consistent thankfulness, perseverance, ooh, encouragement, and a desire to be upright in our words and actions. Now, are we perfect in that? No.
Nope.
But we're trying. We're trying to get this wheel moving. We're trying to live out those words. And it's kind of like, guys, here's our mission. You know, are we all on track here?
Really what, you know, this all got birthed out of last fall, if you guys remember. Oh, it was an awesome series, Dave, Renee, and Bob, with our mission statement and vision. And we've actually done that with the youth, where we've come up and helped them have their own. And it's like, you get to Florida, how do you get to Florida? Probably not too successful. But if you have a roadmap and you have a plan, you're going to be successful. You have to have purpose. So a lot of it is just walking with purpose. Mm-hmm. And at the center of all of it, to remember,
yeah,
is, yes, Father God. He connects us all. He is the hub. He's supporting everything. And we do have this outer part that we're all connected to, but he's the center of our lives. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
So we're gonna switch into allowing. We're a family that likes to do stuff together. Birthing of babies.
Well, not really that either. That was me. I disagree.
I'll get my foot out of my mouth in a minute. We got to watch mom have a baby. But we got to do it together. We do a lot of our life together. And so as we had the opportunity to come up here, and we're getting stretched a little, we wanted to have that same opportunity for our older children. So they're going to all come up, and they're going to just bring a visual. They're going to
And say, because some of them are in youth,
they're going to
again,
own their
youth
faith.
Is owning their faith. We're like, hey, guys, we're owning our faith, baby. Let's do it.
So they're going to just do a kind of a quick what they're bringing up and some meaning to us. Now, I brought up a catalog. Menards. I don't know if y'all can see it, but as I go through this, there's lots of doors. There's lots of lights. There's lots of everything. We're only us. Our house looks like it does for us, and that's only us. Your house is going to look extremely different. Praise God. Mm-hmm. We don't want to have a bunch of cookie-cutter houses. So this is only what we've done, what works for us. It's not about us, but it's who we are. So just know that with this whole ad, there's lots and lots of options. It's endless.
Yeah, and as our kids come up and we explain things of what we do in our family, we're not saying this is the right thing and this is what you need to do. This is just what our house looks like, you know. So anyway, we just wanted to preface that. All right, press.
Hi, my name is Preston. I'm going to be talking about how my family helped me go through all my chemo last year. All my sisters and brothers went to all my chemo treatments about, and they supported me all the time. And all my brothers said, if I go bald from my chemo, I'll be able to shave them bald. And
didn't happen, but it would have.
We went on a month fast twice because it was going to be good for my
sugar
for our family, and they helped me go through that twice. So
good.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah, when we went to his appointments, you know, we would walk in with a whole brood of kids, and, you know, it maybe was uncomfortable in the waiting room because there's not a lot of chairs, or you get
in the room was worse.
In the clinic room, you know, a whole bunch of us.
Yeah.
It was uncomfortable at times, but we knew that we needed to do that just as unity in a family, because what we wanted to say about his little cement thing was cement and the bricks were representing unity. The bricks holding us together and the cement holding us together. And it was that the brothers and sisters and all of us walking through it with him, where he didn't have to feel alone. It's like, oh, you can't eat sugar for a month? We'll all do it with you. Oh, you're going to go bald? Okay, well, the boys will do that with you, not the girls. But, you know, we just wanted that unity as much as we could. We couldn't take the chemo treatments, but we could do our part to hold them up. And so, again, it's just one thing. I'm not telling you guys have to do that, but just one thing to do is just keep in mind of the importance of unity in your family. What can we do to help each other? I'm going to say this. My sister, as when she was in high school, college. She was pregnant with Christian and had him at home. But when we got to go through her pregnancy, even though it was a challenge at that time, it was like, yay, baby, it was so exciting, you know? And it was like, no matter what goes on in life, if you go at it feeling like, oh, bad, it's all in the attitude. It was like, it became this thing. My dad quit drinking because of it. You know, it what on the outside looked like as maybe a not planned thing, God can use anything. So even our chemo stuff, Heidi's pregnancy before maybe the anticipated, dreamed upon time, it was awesome. So it doesn't matter what's going on. God can use it. Just hold on to your family together and walk through it together. It's so much easier to do things together. Just like speaking up here today, we pulled them in to do that.
And a verse I just want to quick read. It's in Psalms. It's actually Psalm 133. That David said, he said, how good and pleasant is it when brothers live together in unity. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down of Aaron's beard, down upon the collar of his robes. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling onto Mount Zion. For the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. Praise God. Just the unity we have in a family that you want a purpose to... You know, we're all going hand in hand through life, mm-hmm, to support each other, to build each other up, and just to be there.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Mikhail. She has a window.
Hi. So I'm supposed to talk about family retreat, but it's already kind of been mentioned by Pastor Dave and Tommy Boy here. But
or Dad.
Pops, Tommy Boy. So family retreat is something my parents do every year. It started about 10-ish years ago when my sister was going through health problems. So we did it to kind of similar to Preston when he was going through health problems, just around all getting the same.
Yeah, they went to
modes spiritually, just for faith and stuff. So it's kind of turned into a tradition that we do every year. And basically, my parents seek the Lord and get a vision or a theme for the year. And then we do different activities and projects and stuff, and Bible study based around that. And we all go to Cub and start the day off with donuts. So, yeah, pretty fun.
Yeah, it's just a time, like we said, you know, where we just seek God for our family for that year. Luke.
And just every year, the Lord drops something different on our heart. One year it was about purity. One year was about taming our tongue. I mean, that could be like an every year one, because my human side gets in the way of this little thing more than the whole physical body. But whatever the Lord dumps on us, you know, we'll wrestle with. And it's amazing the timing and what the topics are in the seasons of our life.
Oh, yeah, and I wanted to share this.
I just want to read one. Yeah. I just want to quick read a verse that when we were talking, when Mikhail was up here, it's in Luke, it's 10:27. And whether you put it up there or not, whatever works for you, I'm going to just read it. It's quick. He says, he answered, "Lord, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and with all the strength, for with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself."
In regard to the family retreat, when we were at the hospital with Preston's thing, it was scheduled on our planner like the next weekend we were supposed to be doing family retreat. We knew that tons of doctor appointments were the next week, and it was like, I can't do family retreat next week. I'm just trying to like figure out how I'm going to live tomorrow, let alone family retreat. God's like, no, you need to do family retreat. And so, but what happened was when we left the hospital with Preston that first weekend of, you know, being at the appointment, thinking we're just going in for an MRI, and then as we're walking out, the nurse came running after us saying, can you come back here? It was Friday night, and people were gone already, but they're like, can you stay overnight? There's a mass there. When we left that hospital visit, we were, you know, paid the $12 fee for your parking pass.
With our debit card.
Yeah, with the debit card. And as we paid, you know, Tom put the debit card in the thing or whatever. And as we were leaving, he put his hand in where there's the change thing. And he's like, oh, sweet, some change.
I'm like a kid.
So
change anyway, the change thing.
Pulled out the change. And what we found, it was a $12 bill that we paid for parking. And what we found in the change thing were 12 golden coins. We went to lots of doctor appointments after that, parked in the same ramp. Not one other time did we find a single coin. And we left there that first scary day going, okay, God, you paid the debt. You paid the debt. You paid the debt for our parking, and you paid the debt for our son. So we don't know what's ahead, but we're going to hold on to you paid the debt. And so anyway, that next weekend, amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Then that next weekend when we did family retreat, and you know, God's like, no, you're going to do this, even though you feel like you can't, you can. That was our project that year. And so we just created the Preston and the Faith with the gold coins and put the receipt there. And then also we all spoke words over him and just wrote it there on the frame. And that was just, we held on to that as we walked through it. So anyway, that was just on family retreat.
I think it was interesting in the library this morning with prayer. I think it was Mandy who had this vision of a gold path. Or a gold, path with
bricks.
And it's funny because when we were leaving the hospital this Saturday morning after we were there Friday night, we're walking out to the car and I'm like, oh, weird. I'm like, babe, I just had this vision of this. We're just on this gold path. I'm like, oh, okay, you know. So I didn't think anything of it. I'm just thinking, am I loony or what? And then I get to the car and we pay and I have these gold coins. And I'm like, oh, cool, gold coins. And that, so it's just funny how, you know, all these things lined up, and just even what Mandy was saying, you know, it was just neat to
okay.
God's confirmation.
Number three, Marielle.
So she has a shudder.
So my three older siblings were born at a hospital, and then I was the first one born at home. And then at the end, with the last three boys, they were born at home, and we all had kind of jobs, like where the boys all got to cut the cords, and Mikhail like, got to help catch Nixon. And so they had our jobs, and then like at the end, we would bring rockers, I remember, up into Mom and Dad's room, and we would just have like family time and watch a movie. And
yeah, it was a sweet week together. And so it started out, you know, first kids, we'd have them at the hospital, but I don't know, something with us, we always wanted to do it as a family. So even when we had child number two, number one came with, you know, 1 year old in the room with us. Child number two, child number three, we brought the two babies with us. So anyway, it got hard. Time to do it at home. But the whole point of that story is, I'm not telling you to have babies at home. Do what God tells you. The point of it is these shutters. It's about, don't shut off your kids. Don't shut off your family members. Be open. Be willing to go into those intimate, uncomfortable places with your kids, vulnerable places. You know, and it's kind of a give and take thing. Like, the more we can be transparent with our kids and let them into intimate, uncomfortable things for us, they'll do it with us. But, you know, it takes an example for us to do that in hopes that they'll give that in return. And they have, you know, as the older kids are now starting to enter the teenage, the dating and whatever, they've blessed us with the privilege of allowing us into their hearts and asking us about a certain someone and what's their opinion, or helping them walk through some difficult things with that. Even like just talking about tough stuff. That's our verse is talking about doing it for the Lord. But, you know, as parents, sometimes the birds and the bees and all that kind of stuff, it's like some parents, you talk to them, they're like, oh, I can't talk to my kids about that. That's too hard. That's too uncomfortable. Maybe dad will do it. But literally, do it for the Lord. If you can't do it for your kids and you can't do it for yourself, be willing to put yourself out there and do it for the Lord, because if you don't talk to your kids about it, somebody else is gonna, probably another kid, and is the information gonna be accurate? And is it gonna be truth? And is it gonna be what you want them to hear and how to say it? So don't shut off your kids. Keep those shutters open. Keep your hearts open. Be willing. Be willing to just go there.
We had a late night last week with our boys and a couple of other younger fellas, and it was, I think, I don't know, 2 in the morning, 2:30, and we were just talking about politics and a lot of the challenges that our youth-age kids face going to school, going to college, what they see, what's acceptable. Mm-hmm. And this isn't to condemn or anything, but just literally, we just want to have that discussion. We want that off their heart. Number one, that they're not carrying a burden, but two, that they're opening up, because we don't want to lose the opportunity to hear where they're coming from and to speak into them.
Yeah, and like Mikhail's doing student teaching, and so she's, because they were homeschooled, you know, then she's going into the schools now, and she's seeing stuff that they're learning about, and at young ages, and she comes home and tells me, it's like, oh, you know, so it's like, if we don't tell our kids what the truth is, their teacher's going to tell them, and it may be something that we disagree with. So we have to just push ourselves to, like, go there, be open, talk to them.
Yeah.
Okay, now Landon.
Ooh. Insulation. A very fun, so, cool.
I'm going to quickly tell you about how my parents did growing kids God's way. So it was about 19 years ago when Mikhail was 1 year old, and my parents went to a class growing kids God's way. And then a few years later, when my mom was pregnant with me, they led the class. And over the years, they've led multiple classes. And it's a class that teachers take, or parents take, and it's just how to teach your kids, like, in a godly way. And raise up your family. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah, just a class where we just continue to just, each time we lead it, we're like, okay, we learned something new, because our kids grow up and they're in a different season. And so God is constantly speaking to us. No matter where you are, he's willing to talk to you. And one thing we talk about with our kids is the good, better, best. It's one thing where in life, God calls us to excellence. And I'm not saying you got to strive. Sometimes being the best is resting. But it's one thing that I think we learned that in Growing Kids God's Way. They'll do the dishes or whatever, and it's like, or the counter. Dad wants those counters clean. And so it's like, okay, is that counter best, or is that just, is there a million crumbs still on there? That's, you know, anyway, good, better, best.
And you know what, though? I mean, sometimes it's a character flaw. It's analness I have of, I like the counters clean. I don't like food on them. I want them to scrape it. I'm picky. But the whole point is, whatever you're doing, be a good steward of what the Lord's given you, and do best. Don't just quickly get it done to just get it done. It's like, I know we're all human and we have that happen, but so we, in love, sometimes it doesn't come across as sweet, but it's like, redo it or whatever it is.
Okay, so anyway, we have insulation. Landon brought up insulation, and so that was to represent, you know, if you do well, if you get the good insulation, and you maybe need to do it a couple times, like we do the Growing Kids God's Way a couple times, maybe after 20 years you need to re-insulate the attic and stuff, you're going to see the benefits. The heat bills are going to be lower, the air bills are going to be lower, so it's like, do your best. So that's how it went to the house part.
Yeah, and to that point, not only the insulation, it's not like you see this benefit right away, but over 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, it's like, wow, babe, our heating bills are less, or whatever it is. So, you know, if you're investing into like in this case, our house, we're investing for not today, but for tomorrow, for the future generations.
Okay, so 10 minutes, we gotta move it. Just a little commercial break too, though. We're starting a Growing Kids God's Way class next week is the plan. So anyway, if you're interested, let us know. Call us. I think our number should be in the bulletin.
Whether you're taking it one time, five times, 10 times, don't care how old your kids are, how young they are. We started when we had a one-year-old, and I couldn't take it enough. It is an investment. It's an investment in your time, because it's a lot of weeks that you're dedicating to it. But there's always nuggets. Like anything in life, if you go through it kind of humdrum and it's like, oh, I don't really want to do it, don't be released, don't do it. But if you have something, there's always nuggets that you can take away to get better.
Okay, Owen. He has a thermostat.
Morning, everybody. Okay, so about a year and a half ago, me and my dad and my younger brother, Landon, we started going out to coffee every Monday morning, and we go and we usually read a book, and then we'll talk about it or just have discussions and just go out every Monday morning and have coffee together.
Yeah, they were kind of doing a book study called Becoming Mr. Right. And so it was, you know, a lot of times we tell our kids, you got to find Mr. Right or find Mrs. Right, but the book is like, no, you become Mr. Right. It's like talks about the going deep. You can't change who you're going to find out there, but you can make yourself the best person you can be. And so anyway, it's kind of a little study that they started with that. And anyway, it also is... In our family, we know we talk a lot about love language. They talk about that in Growing Kids God's Way class. And Owen's love language is quality time. And so it's like, whatever we do, it's like, okay, that'll be quality time. We can get teasing a lot in our family, and the kids will be like, teasing brother or whatever. And it's like, guys, he's words. You say that to him, and that really hurts because his love language is words. So we're constantly like reminding each other, or I'll ask somebody to do something, and the other sibling will say, hey, remember mom's acts of service. You might want to go do that. So anyway, just another way to like know your kids and to go deep. Know their love language. Know how to meet their love need and how they can meet yours.
Yeah, super, super quickly. So Owen was in track last year, and we go to the track meets, and we're holding signs and yelling and all excited. And we're thinking, well, we're giving him quality time. One, we like to do that. But two, it's like, oh, we're giving him quality time. And it wasn't until months later, whenever it was, where it's like, that wasn't quality time to him. He didn't figure it. His quality time is... Dad, I need to go to Menards to get something for my grinder.
Well, we asked him. We were like, can you clarify, how can we fill it? You know, I was like, so if we go run an errand together, is that quality time to you? He's like, Yeah, yep. Sounds good. You know, so, I mean, ask your kids those weird questions. How can I love you? You know, that's okay. It's like, don't they want to be loved the way they want to be loved? And so we could feel like a loser parent by going, I don't know how to love my kid. Or you can just ditch the pride and go, how can I love you better? You know, if we can run to Menards together and that meets your love language, great, let's do it.
So it's about filling up our whomever's love tank. How do we reach him? How do we get the best?
5 minutes.
Yeah, we get a roll. So let's,
Okay, let's go there. Okay, back to the house thing. So we're skipping a little bit here, but we're going to go to the house thing and talk about the fires. We've skipped a little verse here that talks about the fire in life, but, you know, if you're rooted and it's down deep and the houses are blown down, it's not going to matter. For example, Pastor Bob, you know, his house has shifted now. He doesn't have Marcy, but he went deep in the Lord. He's been deep. His footings were deep. And so although his house looks different, nothing swayed within him. Another
Bob
thing we
still
just,
Bob.
Yeah, their house is going to look different now. I wonder what color it'll be, you know? Another thing, we went to the 9/11 museum a few weeks ago, and it was like the museum is now under the ground. It's under where the two buildings were. And as you're walking, they show you where the footings are. You get to walk and, like, touch them. And so we took away from that going, okay, the top structure is gone, but the footings down deep, it's still there. So it just shows the importance of going deep with the Lord. College kids, youth kids, Your outside house is going to change when you go off now to college. Have you gone deep so that when you go and you get a different house, do you still have what you need to stay strong in what's been planted in you? You know, I'm going to just encourage those youth kids, give your family your best. It's a hard load if it's parents just trying to call the kids to the high standard of giving their best. It takes the whole family to be like, be who you're called to be. So I'm just encouraging youth, be who you're called to be. Be real with your parents. Be uncomfortable and share with them. Because it not only for us it's hard, but you too have to be transparent with your parents. Be willing to, you know, parents, we want to know what's going on parents want to know what's going on in the kids' life. Kids, give us that, please give us that by, like, saying, hey, this is what I'm thinking about, or this is what I'm struggling with, or hey, I'm kind of interested in this boy, or whatever. We're like your best cheerleader, so don't be afraid.
Let's zip. Man, can we zip to the...
I think we need to do that. Okay, we're going to just do three little stragglers because we want this to apply to everybody here today, because there's some that maybe don't have kids. There's some where their kids are not at home, and there's some that are feeling like, wow, growing up wasn't so great. So we want to address those three things real quick.
Okay, so what I learned through this from forgiveness from an adult child now, I'm wrestling through and it's like, gosh, my mom and dad didn't talk to me about that. I didn't know this. I'm like, wow, okay. I realized I had some forgiveness issues in my heart towards my mom and dad. And it's okay. It brought it to the surface. And that's what we want, right? We want to get pull the weed out, if you will. And so I would just encourage you to press in and let Holy Spirit tell you, you know, if there's something welling up inside you. Because I got to ask for forgiveness. I'm basically setting me free by forgiving them. Because I don't want to be tied. I don't want any ties. I don't want bitterness.
Not ties with parents, but
yeah.
Anger ties.
Correct.
Yes.
I would just encourage you, you know, we serve a big God who is in the business of restoration and healing. We've seen it in our family tons of times, both just in our immediate family and our surrounding families. So,
So if there's something as you're hearing this and something's welling up in you where you have a hurt or an offense towards your parents, just give it to the Lord so that you can be free and you can be free to do God's plan. Because when you hold on to that, it's like, it's hard to really do what you can. It's like walking with this weight. And so you're not really as able to go do because you're pulling this, you know, unforgiveness around. Set yourself free. And so parents out there that have no kids at home and you're feeling like, oh, I wish I would have done that. I should have done that, blah, blah, blah. You know, the shoulds aren't going to do you any good. And the fact of the matter is, if you're still breathing and even if your kids aren't home, you still can do it. You can still call them up and say, hey, will you forgive me for blah, 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 blah? I wish I would have done better. I didn't know at that time, but I do now. And will you forgive me where I lacked? And you can still make a difference because maybe you have grandkids or maybe the grandkids are coming or whatever. You still can make a difference. Even if it's not right in your little home, you still can make a difference. And like last week, Ken was saying, if you don't have walls, find walls.
Make walls.
Those of you who don't have kids, find kids. Marcy used to go out to coffee with Mikhail and just put seeds in her. And hopefully Mikhail put seeds back in her. But find somebody, because if you're breathing, you can make a difference in somebody's life.
Amen.
Find a family who's maybe there's some struggle going on. How can you help them? Maybe you can adopt one kid just, you know, in your spirit, obviously with the parents okay of it. But to just be like, I'm going to mentor that person. So anyway, we just wanted to leave you with encouragement, not a list of to-dos, not a list of what you should be doing, but more Amen. Ideas. Ask the Lord, go deep for your own family and like, Lord, what do you have for us? What can I do? Where should I change or whatever? So please don't have a heaviness when you leave here. That's not our intention. Video?
Yeah.
Okay.
If you have to leave...
because we're at 11:30
yeah,
right now.
Be released.
We just have one little video that we wanted to leave you with about just giving it your all, giving it your best yep. in your parenting and your family life.
And again, to preface what Dave said, this isn't about working hard and it's not about, but it's resting in him. But again, we are all still called to be stewards and to do our best with whatever it is we're supposed to do, whether it's our job, our being a dad, being a son, a husband. So do your best. Be intentional with what you have.
This is like a 5-minute video.
And but it's good. Awesome. You leave. It's a movie that probably a lot of you have seen, Facing the Giants. It's the death crawl scene.
So, Coach, how strong is Westview this year?
A lot stronger than we are.
You already written Friday night down as a loss, Brock?
Well, not if I know we could beat them.
Come here, Brock. You too, Jeremy.
What, am I in trouble now?
Not yet. I want to see you do the death crawl again, except I want to see your absolute best.
What, you want me to go to the 30?
I think you can go to the 50.
The 50? I can go to the 50 if nobody's on my back.
I think you can do it with Jeremy on your back. But even if you can, I want you to promise me you're going to do your best.
All right.
Your best.
Okay.
You going to give me your best?
I'm going to give you my best.
All right, one more thing. I want you to do it blindfolded.
Why?
Because I want you giving up at a certain point when you can go further. Get down. Jeremy, get on his back. Now get a good tight hold, Jeremy. All right, let's go, Brock. Keep your knees off the ground, just your hands and feet. There you go. A little bit left, a little bit left.
I bet he got it.
There you go. Show me good effort. That away, Brock. You keep coming. There you go. It's a good start. A little bit left. A little bit left. There you go, Brock. Good strength. That's it, Brock. That's it.
Not the 20 yet.
Forget the 20. You give me your best. You keep going. That's it. No, don't stop, Brock. You got more in you than that.
I ain't done. Just resting a second.
You got to keep moving. Let's keep moving. Let's go. Don't quit till you got nothing left. There you go. Keep moving. Keep moving. Keep moving, Brock. That's it. You keep driving. Keep your knees off the ground. Keep driving it. Your very best. Your very best. Your very best. Keep moving, Brock. That's it. That's it. That's it. Keep going. Don't quit on me. Keep going. Keep driving it. Keep your knees off the ground. That's it. Your very best. Don't quit on me. Your very best. Keep driving. Keep driving. There you go. There you go. That's it. You keep driving. Keep your knees off the ground. Keep driving it. Don't quit till you got nothing left. Keep moving, Brock. That's it. That's it. That's it. Keep going. I want everything you got. Come on. Keep going.
It hurts.
Don't quit on me. Your very best. Keep driving. Keep driving. There you go. There you go.
He's heavy.
I know he's heavy.
I'm about out of strength.
Then you negotiate with your body to find more strength, but don't you give up on me, Brock. You keep going. You hear me? You keep going. You're doing good. You keep going. Do not quit on me. You keep going.
It hurts.
I know it hurts. You keep going. You keep going. It's all hard from here. 30 more steps. You keep going, Brock. Come on. Keep going.
Burn.
And let it burn.
My arms are burning.
It's all hard. You keep going, Brock. Come on. Come on. Keep going. You promised me your best. Your best. Don't stop. Keep going.
Too hard.
It's not too hard. You keep going. Come on, Brock. Give me more. Give me more. Keep going. 20 more steps. 20 more. Keep going, Brock. Give me your best. Don't quit! No! Keep going! Keep going! Keep going! Don't quit! Don't quit! Don't quit! Brock Kelly, you don't quit! Keep going! Keep going! Go, Brock Kelly! You don't quit on me! No! You keep going! You keep going! Go, Brock! 10 more steps! 10 more! 10 more! 10 more! Keep going! Don't quit! Give me your heart! You can! You can! Five more! Five more! Come on, Brock! Come on! Don't quit! Don't quit! Come on, Brock! Two more! One more!
Oh. It's got to be 50. It's got to be 50. I don't have any more.
Look up, Brock. You're in the end zone. You are the most influential player on this team. If you walk around defeated, so will they. Don't tell me you can't give me more than what I've been seeing. You just carried a 140-pound man across this whole field on your arms. Brock, I need you. God's gifted you with the ability of leadership. Don't waste it.
Coach?
Can I count on you?
Yes.
Coach?
What is it, Jeremy?
I weigh 160.
Yes. Oh. Yeah.
We'll just close with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we just declare that we have you in us, Lord, and because of you, we are able to do our best. We just rest in you, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
We rest in you as we just move forward in what you have for us, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father, for this opportunity, and I just pray that you bless everybody here today. And that you speak to them, Lord. May our words just speak to them all in their own way and what they needed to hear. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.